All right. Genesis 27. The scripture we're going to deal with tonight is one which cannot be perceived or received except in the light of the understanding of the Holy Spirit. That be given from God. That be given from the Spirit Himself, from above. This passage deals with the preparing of Jacob, the younger brother of Isaac and Rebekah, to receive the blessing of Isaac. Now, traditionally, this blessing, the recipient of this blessing, would go to the elder son, which would be Esau. We dealt with this last time. But the Lord told Rebekah prior to her delivery, in Genesis 25, told her because of the turmoil that was going on within her. There was a battle going on. And he told her in Genesis 25:23, two nations are in thy womb. Two separate people, born of the same parents. These boys were twins. They, from one blood, would come forth two different nations, spiritual nations. The Edomites, which is Esau. Those that were rejected of God. And then on the other hand, Israel. A people beloved of the Lord. You remember when the Lord asked Jacob when he wrestled with him, he said, "What's your name?" He said, "Jacob." He said, "Not anymore. Your name is Israel, a prince with God." So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord told her in the way that she went to inquire, whoever she went to see, said, "Two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels." Those with a different character, different disposition, different love. "And the one people shall be stronger than the other," referring to actually Esau. Strong, courageous, stout, bold, hard. The elder, that one that was stronger, stout, shall serve the younger. For the Lord determined it to be so. Why am I thus? You got two different nations. You got two different nations there. Two different people. Two manner of men. Rejected and accepted. And this struggle from these two boys, we see the spiritual conflict between the flesh and the spirit. It all was being revealed in these two boys that Rebekah was going to give birth to. And so the battle is for dominance. That's what it's over. Dominance. Flesh and the spirit. So this is the word of the Lord that was given unto Rebekah. And so what she's going to do in this passage that we'll deal with tonight is based upon what God told her. This is what she knows. Now, brethren, it is with this revelation in mind that we consider this passage, and I want to just set forth that knowing the blessing that is rendered by Isaac. Isaac's the dad. And he's going to bless. These two boys will be, Lord willing, we'll look at this next week or so. The blessing that's going to be given unto these two boys is going to be summed up, revealed by the Spirit of God in the book of Hebrews. Now listen to this. Now I'll just say this because we all know the story. As we look at this, you know how this is going to fall out. How Jacob is going to go clothed in the raiment of Esau and going to have skins on his neck, on his hands. He's going to come before his daddy. You know, so you know what's going to happen. And you know that when he came in, you know that Isaac's going to bless him. You know that. I want you to listen to what the Spirit of God says about it. Hebrews 11:20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith. And we'll ask ourselves this again. Whenever Jacob came before Isaac, his daddy, who was he? He was Jacob. Who did his daddy think he was? Esau. And we'll look at that passage, Esau, a picture of Christ. But the Scripture says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, Rebekah, the mama, heard her husband Isaac say something to their son Esau. Now, you remember what the Lord said to Rebekah concerning who was going to serve who. Who was going to be the one that would be the recipient of the blessing? Who did the Lord say would be? The younger. She knows this. And the Scripture says now in Genesis 27:6-7, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now, who was Isaac, the daddy? Who was he speaking to? Esau. Who is Esau? The elder. The elder, the one that traditionally would receive the blessing. So Rebekah heard her husband, Isaac, say to Esau, you go kill a deer, make me savory meat, I'm going to eat it, and then I'm going to bless you before I die. And her hearing this is said that we might understand the intent of Isaac. And while the desire of Isaac was certainly contradictory to the revealed will of the Lord to Rebekah, I will say that. What Isaac said to Esau about what he was going to do, it was contradictory to what the Lord had said to Rebekah. Listen, we have no clear scriptural proof that Isaac knew of the word of the Lord to his wife, Rebekah. We have no scriptural proof of that. We can speculate. You say, well, surely she told him. Surely he knew what the Lord had said. Well, we can't be speculating. Not on God's word. We take the Lord at exactly what is said. And there's no scriptural proof that what the Lord said to Rebekah was known to Isaac. We have no proof of that. Now therefore, we're not warranted to think that Isaac sinned presumptuously by deliberately resisting the revealed will of God. We have no warrant for that. The Scripture says Isaac, by faith, blessed Jacob and Esau. And there we stand. So knowing the Lord's word to Rebekah, we consider her action not so much as trying to get ahead of the Lord, but rather of her words to Jacob, her son, who the Lord had told her, this is who's going to get the blessing. what she did, I will say, may have been well-meant intentions for the accomplishment of the purpose of God. But when we consider these truths, we have to walk in the light that we have. Now, there are passages that set forth. I want you to turn to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. There's passages where the Lord directly reprimanded those that he loved. There's no doubt about that. I want you to look at Exodus 17, verse 6. The people, the people were murmuring because there was no water. They were out in the wilderness, they murmured there was no water. And here's what the Lord told Moses to do, Exodus 17, 6. He said, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now the Lord told Moses, when the people murmured because there was no water, "I want you to go," and the Lord said, "I'm going to stand on this rock, and you smite it." Well, I think, what respect. That rock set forth the person of Christ being slain. And the Lord told him, he said, "I'm going to stand on that rock, and you smite it, and water's going to come out." And it did. But then turn over to Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 20. When there was no water, again, in the desert of Zin, the Lord instructed Moses, Numbers 20, verse 8 to 13. "Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock." Now listen to what the Lord said to do. "Take thy rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall be, and it shall give forth his water. Thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, "Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Now, the Lord told Moses first time, "Strike the rock." Told him the second time, "You speak to the rock." Christ smitten one time. And when Moses struck that rock the second time, God said, "You're not going in." Saul, scripture set forth, was rebuked by Samuel for disobedience. David, when he took Bathsheba, had Bathsheba's husband killed. David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. And the Spirit of God said that God sent a prophet to David, Nathan, to say to him, he said, "You're the man. You've given the heathens grounds to blaspheme God. God's put away your guilt." But God reprimanded him. The Lord, before Peter even denied the Lord three times, the Lord told him, "This is what you're going to do." The Lord told him he was going to do that. But in the case of Isaac and Rebekah, the scriptures are silent concerning their disobedience. And brethren, where the scriptures are silent, let us be too. Let us set forth the message of the passage without any speculation. I read numerous articles, and it was talking about how disobedient, how disrespectful, and how conniving. And I thought, let's take what God says and stay right there. So the Lord's instruction to Rebecca was the revelation of His purpose. God told her what He was. Turn to Romans 9. His purpose that the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul to pen again. Romans chapter 9, verses 10 to 16. And not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Rebekah knew that the Lord had made a distinction between her two sons. She knew that. And she knew that He had done so according to His immutable will. It wasn't going to change. She knew that. She knew that God's choice was to show mercy to one and leave the other to Himself. And God's will and God's purpose was made before the foundation of the world, before they had done any good or evil, before they were born. The Lord said, this is the way it's going to be. So she knew that Jacob's blessing, the younger son's blessing over his brother Esau, flowed totally from God's eternal will, love toward Jacob. And no one, not her, not Isaac, no one had the right to question the Lord concerning those things. So let those that question the things of God, question God's sovereignty, question God's right, hear these words. The Lord said, John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So she said, here's what, back in Genesis 27. So she said, knowing, she said, I heard your daddy say this to your brother. And she said in verse 8 through 10, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. Now, in these words, we behold not a questioning of God's ability, of God's way, but the confidence and faith that the Lord was going to do what the Lord said He was going to do. The Lord said, the elder is going to serve the younger. And she told Jacob, the younger, go get two kids. Go get these two goats. You bring them to me. I'm going to make this meat, this savory meat. And you're going to bring it to your daddy. And listen to what she said in verse 10, the latter part of verse 10. That he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. She believed God. This is what's going to happen. Now, considering what the Scriptures reveal about the events of that day, let's be ever mindful that what's being said is to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious work of the Holy Spirit in the bringing of God's sheep unto Himself. So Rebekah is instructed Jacob, the younger. And now listen to his response, verses 11 and 12. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. And my father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Now, Jacob knew that if he was going to approach, now his mama just told him, you go get these two goats, I'm going to make the savory meat, and I'm going to, prepare this, and I want you to bring it to your daddy, that he may bless you before. And he says, if I'm going to approach my father and receive the blessing and be accepted of him, I'm going to have to approach him in the position of my brother, Esau. Dad knows that Esau's a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. And he's going to know that it's not me. That I'm not him. I'm going to approach him, and I'm going to be found to be an imposter and bring a curse. I looked the word curse up. Vilification. Abusive, despairing speech. Dad is going to just lambast me when I go in there and tell him. But obviously, what Rebecca did was absolutely found to be under the permissive will of God according to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we never insinuate that the Lord was the author of sin, but rather we bow to the way that He sovereignly orders those things that He does. He allows, He worketh all things. And I, as I was making preparation for this message, I kept the things that go through my mind. I'm like you. I can see these things, and I can, you know, it's very easy for our flesh to say, well, it just don't seem like to me. That, brethren, shun those thoughts. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Whenever the Lord instructed Joshua to send the spies in and to spy out the land, and they came to a woman's house, Rahab the harlot, and Rahab told him, she said, "We've heard, we know who you are, we know your God, we've heard about how your God had destroyed the kings of Sihon and Og, and we know. She said, I want you to make a promise to me that when you come in and you take this land, would you show mercy to me and to my family? And you know that, you know, they said they would. You put this ribbon in there." And what she did was she hid these men, put them hid them in their house there. And the king sent some men over to talk to her about it, about these men. It says, Scripture says that in Joshua 2:4 that she answered them. And these men are hidden in her house. And she says, "Well, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." They were in her house right then. She had them hidden. That's what the Scripture says. What did God say concerning what Rahab did? The Scripture says in Hebrews 11:31, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." God's ways are not our ways. Well, I think that the way I think, the secret things belong unto the Lord. But those things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. We're looking at a passage of Scripture. I started off this message by saying this passage of Scripture cannot be believed or received except that the Spirit of God give a heart to bow to what the Lord says. The Scripture says in Proverbs 19:21, "There are many devices, as many thoughts, there's many plans, there's many inventions in man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." There's many things that men think, nevertheless. Isaiah 46:9-10, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's none else. I'm God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Rebekah instructed Isaac, now you go to the flock and you fetch two goats. And she's going to kill those two goats. And she's going to make savory meat for Isaac, such as he loveth, she said, that he may bless thee before his death. You go get two goats. Beloved, do we not see that which is needful to be accepted of God? As those two goats had to die, are we not reminded of the demand of God Almighty set forth the day of the atonement, the day when these two goats would set forth God's demand for satisfaction to his justice, and also as the scapegoat that would bear our sins away as far as the east is from the west. Listen, Jacob's going in to get the blessing. She said, you go get me two goats. You know, when I first read that, I thought, wouldn't one do? She said, you go get two. There was a reason for it. Turn to Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16. But this is on the Day of Atonement. Leviticus 16, 7 to 10. Talk about the high priest, Aaron. Verse 7, Leviticus 16, 7. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot failed to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. You go get me two goats. Isaac, the daddy, is a picture of the Father, the one that blesses. Jacob is a picture of us, the needy sinner. Rebekah is a picture, beautiful picture of the Spirit of God, directing, ordering. Esau is a picture of Christ, and we'll see this. And as she said, you go get two goats, that your father may bless you before he dies. So here we see Jacob vividly aware of the difference between himself and his brother Esau. But brethren, do we not see in picture, in type? We don't see it as we ought to, but we see through a glass darkly the great difference between our glorious Savior. He is heavenly. He's holy. We're earthy sinners. And here he is. He said there's a difference. But that the Word of God might set forth the glory of being accepted of the Lord. She told him, she said, you go get these. I'm going to make it. And he says in that latter verse of verse 10, 12, I shall seem to him a deceiver. I shall bring a curse upon me. And she said this. He said, verse 13, his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. You go get those curses. I'll bear the curse. The curse won't be on you from your daddy. I'll bear it. You just go do exactly what I said. So you obey my voice. Job said, That's the spirit of what she was saying. Job said this in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. God had told her. The elder's going to serve the younger. She said, I'll bear the curse. You go get those two kids. You go get them. Verses 14 to 17, and we'll stop. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Oh, in these last verses for this evening, do we not behold the glorious detail, and the attention for Jacob to receive the blessing? He must be accepted of his father, who knows his sons. Rebekah took goodly raiment. That means desirable, pleasant, precious raiment that belonged to Esau. That which pictured the precious raiment of the righteousness, the robe of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Robed in Him. There's the picture. To be accepted of the Father, I'm going to have to be robed in Christ's righteousness. She put that upon him, that raiment, and she took the skins, and put the skins of the slain goats on his hands and on the smooth of his neck, which demanded the shedding of blood to meet the demand for acceptance with Isaac. There's the picture. Look at the picture. Not to cast dispersion, blame, and she did this, and she was kind of... Look at the picture that's being set forth here. Look how the Spirit of God set forth this glorious truth to be accepted of Isaac. Isaac was going to have to be set forth to be the one accepting the one that he loved. That's what he loved him. But here Esau is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that was needful for Jacob to approach his father, the goodly raiment of Esau, the skins of the goats upon his hands and neck, that savory meat that Isaac loved was placed into the hands of Jacob. He didn't earn it. He didn't prepare it. And likewise, our approach unto the Father is only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't earn it either. We were robed. We didn't earn the robe, didn't buy the robe by our free will, our works. We're accepted in the Beloved, only robed in the sweet savor of His obedience, hidden in Him. Oh, may the Spirit of God bless our hearts to see these things and rejoice in the One in whom we're accepted for His glory and our eternal good.